The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
We are coming to the time in our service where we look at a passage of scripture together, and we've been working through this great book of Ephesians. Ed will bring the next section to us in a few moments. A passage that we're sort of familiar with because we pray bits of it quite regularly at our monthly prayer meetings. But it's great to be able to have a deep dive into all that this section says. So I'm going to invite Imogen to come and read for us. If you'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, it's on page 1174.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Imogen. Do keep that open in front of you. And if you're sitting in the middle aisle, you'll see some handouts underneath your seat. If you're able to pass those along, that would be a wonderful help. It's a passage about a prayer, so we should pray first as we come to it. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through it by your Spirit about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray now that you might give us power, the power of your Holy Spirit, to change us as we hear your word, as we come before you from the inside out, and to be able to grasp your extraordinary love for each one of us. And we pray this for your glory and your honour. Amen. Well, here's a question for us this morning. What sort of things do you pray for? It's not a trick question. What sort of things do you pray for? When you think about your times of prayer, when you pray on your own, when you pray as a family, when you pray with other people, what sort of things do you find yourself praying for? The truth is, the Bible tells us that we can pray in all sorts of different ways. We can pray prayers of thanksgiving. We're called to pray prayers of thanksgiving, giving thanks for things that God has given us. We can pray prayers of praise, prayers of confession, prayers of bringing our needs before the Lord. All those things we've been praying today together as a church. There is no such thing as too small a prayer to pray. I hear these words of Scripture, just a few words of Scripture, which encourage us to pray. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, coming up on the screen, we read this: cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. All your anxiety you can cast on God because he cares for you. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Every situation we're invited to bring before God. And then, as we've just been praying, Matthew 6, Jesus taught us to pray. And within that, he said to say, give us today our daily bread. So I want to emphasize that at the start, that it is right and important to bring before our Heavenly Father all our anxieties, all our worries, our needs, whether they're big or whether they're small. So it is good to be praying for a dodgy knee or an upcoming exam or a difficult relationship or a potential job. We're invited to do so before a Heavenly Father who cares for us. But, I wonder if that's where we often leave our prayers. That's the sum total of our prayers. Because if that's the case, we're missing out. It's a bit like going to a top quality restaurant and leaving after the olives and the starter. And not going further than that. You see, our expectations can easily be too low of what God wants us to do. Like God has bigger plans for us. And this prayer that we're seeing, that we just had read from the Apostle Paul, just sort of blows that wide open. It's a prayer asking God to transform us from the inside out. It's a prayer asking for help to experience and to know a love that is greater than anything we can imagine. And as Paul prays this in this letter, so we're encouraged to come before God with this same request. It's an amazing passage because it gives us just a window into the Apostle Paul's prayer life, the sort of things he got up to when he prayed. What was he praying for? Well, two headings that we see what he's praying for here. First, he prays for power for Christ's renovation. Second, power for love's appreciation. Power for Christ's renovation, power for love's appreciation. We're going to spend a bit of time trying to understand what it is that Paul is asking for under those two titles. So first, let's think about how Paul is praying for power for Christ's renovation. Have a look at verse 16 with me, page 1175. If you want to have a look at that. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3, we read this. Paul says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you. He's writing to a whole load of Christians and he's saying, look, I pray that out of his glorious riches God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, it has to be said, there are a few things in this country that probably get people more excited than the idea of doing a home renovation project. Is that right? I mean, just think about how many TV programs there are about home renovation projects. There you go. You can sort of see how many of those that you recognize, how many of those you watch. I think there's one on at the moment called Renovation Nation, and that perhaps says it all. We love the idea of taking a home. So imagine the home that is sort of dark and dingy. The roof leaks, the electrics are shot, there's mould in the bathroom, the carpets are sticky, the wallpaper's peeling off. You open a kitchen cupboard and it falls off. That sort of type of home. Imagine that type of home. And then new residents come in. And they change it, they transform it bit by bit, gradually. New windows, light comes in, a new roof, new tasteful paint colours, a new floor, open plan kitchen, the Tennington shutters arrive. It's all absolutely beautiful, transformed. That is the type of thing that Paul is praying for here. He's praying for a prayer for renovation, for transformation. A transformation of our hearts from the inside out. And the reason for it is because a new resident has come in. If we're a Christian, if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, he has taken up residence in our lives by his Spirit. And he wants to transform us. Have a look again at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's important to emphasize, this is not a prayer that Christ might arrive in your life. If you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ is in your life by his Spirit. He has already arrived. At the moment we put our faith in him, he arrives. But the word there in verse 17 is that Christ may dwell. And that word is actually a really strong word. It means to settle down. And so it's a prayer that Jesus Christ isn't just with us sort of as a temporary resident or one of those residents that sort of tucks away in the spare room, only turns up at mealtimes, but that he's at the center of our home, at the center of our lives. And he wants us to make our lives an appropriate dwelling for him. So that's what Paul is praying for. And the thing is, he realizes he needs help. Which is, do you notice, he's praying for power for Christ's renovation. He needs help for that. He needs the power of the Holy Spirit to transform him. And he realizes that we all need the help of the Holy Spirit to transform us bit by bit in our inner being. That word inner being, speaking about our heart, the center of who we are, so that we might change. And it's worth recognizing just the depth to which God wants to change us. We're all very conscious of the general election campaign and what politicians are speaking about and promising. And always in a general election, the word change comes up again and again and again. And there are lots of promises of change, which is all well and good. But of course, no politician is going to be able to change us from the inside out. Only God can do that. Only his Spirit can do that. Which is why Paul is praying for help to do that. He's praying for power. He's praying that the Spirit might do that in his life. And the answer to that prayer is an answer that I guess if we've been walking the Christian life for a while, we'll know that God gradually, by the power of his Spirit, does change us from the inside out. There is a renovation of the heart taking place. So that the leaky roof of selfishness is replaced by a growing love for others. That the sort of sticky carpets of judgmentalism and meanness and greed and envy and insecurity are gradually replaced by joyful generosity and humble confidence. That the sort of old furniture of idolatries and hard-heartedness and ambition are replaced by new healthy desires. The broken cupboards that perhaps represent our addictions are replaced with new freedoms and new habits. Our garden full of sort of idolatrous weeds are replaced by the fruit of the Spirit, by love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't you long for those things in your life? To be transformed, to be renovated in that way? Well, this prayer is inviting us to pray just that. We need God's help. And so we can ask for it. We can come to him and pray, please help me. Please change me. Please give me the power to change in my inmost being so that I can be a fit dwelling for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that Paul is praying for. Power for Christ's renovation. Second, he prays for power for love's appreciation. And note, it's not that we might love God more. That's not what he's praying for. Rather, he's praying that we would grasp his love for us more. Sometimes it's easy to miss the riches that we have. I was reading this week about a Titian painting, painted in 1510. Here it is, I think, coming up on the screen. There it is. The the rest on the flight to Egypt, it's called. And I don't know if you came across this. It's up for auction at Christie's this week. I think it's expected to fetch about £25 million. Do you know where it was found? Would you believe it? In a bus stop, in a plastic bag, in Richmond. In Richmond. Anyone here managed to find it? This was just found a number of years ago in a plastic bag in a bus stop in Richmond. You can imagine the people, maybe it was us. Maybe I was there, getting on a bus at that bus stop, seeing that plastic bag. Oh no, it's a plastic bag, I'm not going to pick that up. But it turns out to be worth perhaps about 25 million quid. It's easy to fail to grasp and appreciate what is right in front of us, the value of what is right in front of us. And how true is that actually of God's love? How true is that of God's love? The riches of his love for us. How easy it is to miss that, to fail to appreciate it. And Paul's prayer here is that we won't. That we won't. And again, we need help. We need help. We need his power to help us with this. His prayer for this second point starts in verse 17, the second half of verse 17. We read this. And I pray that you, he writes, being rooted and established in love. It's a lovely image, that, isn't it? It's speaking of a Christian. A Christian is someone who is rooted and established in love. So to think like a tree in the best, most nutrient soil, full of water. Now that is what's true for a Christian. We are embedded in God's love for us. We're surrounded by it. God loves us, as we've been hearing about already, with our church family focus. And yet, Paul goes on, because he knows we struggle to grasp that. So he goes on and says this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, verse 18, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Okay, let's stop there again. It's worth just, that's a lovely little phrase there, together with all the Lord's holy people. It's just worth recognizing that if we're going to grasp God's love for us, we need one another. On our own, we can get a certain angle on God's love. We can grasp lots, but together, we can grasp so much more as we see his love at work in one another's lives. Here's my weekly John Stott quote. He said this, "It takes the whole people of God to understand the whole love of God." To really grasp the love of God. It's wonderful being part of a church family. Together, we can grasp this. Okay, let's carry on with verse 18. I will get through this prayer. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, verse 18, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's wonderful, that, isn't it? It speaks of the dimensions of God's love. And I don't think it's sort of reading too much into the text to take that breakdown as a way of giving us a flavour of the nature of God's love. Not least because we see, I think, all these different things already in the letter of Ephesians. So let's just take each one of those dimensions. God's love is wide. In other words, God's love is all-encompassing. All are welcome. So chapter 2 of Ephesians speaks of how the whole world is welcome to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Both Jew and Gentile, everyone, wherever we're from, no matter what we've done. I wonder, perhaps you might be someone who struggles to believe that God's love is for you. You've always felt perhaps something of an outsider. Or you've done stuff in your life that you're deeply ashamed of. Or you keep messing up again and again and again, even just this past week, and you think, I'm just beyond God's love. Well, know that God's love is wide enough for you. It is wide enough for you. God's love is all-encompassing. God's love is long. In other words, it's everlasting. It is, isn't it, one of the greatest sadnesses of death to be separated from the love of another. It's a devastating thing. It's a deeply sad thing. Which is why to know that we can never be separated from God's love is a remarkable thing. Let me quote from Romans 8. These words might be familiar with you, but they capture so wonderfully God's everlasting love. So in this other letter that Paul wrote, he said this: I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Nothing in the future. It is a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. It's wide, all-encompassing. His love is long, everlasting. It is high. In other words, it is an exalting love. Just think of where God's love has taken us. It's taken us from death to life. The beginning of Ephesians chapter 2 tells us of that. From the grave to being raised. Not just to life, but chapter 2 verse 6, to being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I don't know if you caught yesterday the trooping of the colour. Did anyone see the trooping of the colour on TV or whatever it is? A very wet day. But there's that scene that we're familiar with you on the balcony of Buckingham Palace. You probably saw the pictures. There they were from yesterday. Up on Buckingham Palace. Could you imagine with all the thousands and thousands of people down on the streets, and there's the royal family up on their balcony, if they just pulled someone out from the crowd and invited them to come up and join them on the balcony. That would be quite a cool thing to do, wouldn't it? Well, that is what God has done for each one of us if we're following his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has pulled us out from the gutter and taken us into his palace. And we are seated, we are told. If you don't believe me, have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. God has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's an extraordinary, exalting love. And that is a love that we're going to experience for all eternity. His love is high. Finally, his love is deep. It is a deep love. In other words, it's an expensive love. What did it cost God to love us the way he loved us? Well, it cost us Jesus' life. He came from the heights of heaven to the depths of the cross, enduring hell for us. His love is an extraordinary sacrificial love. I was hearing about the other day someone who we know, as a family we know, who has given their, quite recently, their kidney for their sister, their healthy kidney. Their sister needed a kidney. She gave her kidney for her sister. I mean, that you hear that, and that's incredible love, isn't it? To do that, to give your kidney for your sister. That's a remarkable love. How much more Jesus Christ? He gave his life. He gave his whole life for each one of us. What a love. What a deep love. His love is wide. It's all-encompassing. It's long. It's everlasting. It is high, exalting. It is deep. It is expensive. And the cross represents that visually so well, doesn't it? This is the love that Paul prays we might know more and more. Verse 18 speaks of us knowing this love.
So may he prays, verse 18, that we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And verse 19, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know it. That word know means more than simply in our head. It means to experience it, to feel it, to know it in that deepest sense, like we might know a friend deeply well. And what does it even mean to know something that's unknowable? I mean, what's all that about? Well, I guess it makes sense. Think of it like the ocean. Think how massive the ocean is. All the water in the world, in the ocean. It's unknowable, isn't it? We can't know all the water in the ocean. And yet, if I get on a wetsuit and jump into the water, down a call or something like that, I will know part of it, won't I? I will know that water. I will know that ocean. I won't know it all, but I will still know it in a real way. And I think it's that sense in which we can know the unknowable. We'll never exhaust knowing God's love. Of course we won't. But we can still really know it and experience it. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. But it is available for us to know and experience. But to do that, we need help. We need God's Spirit. We need his power at work within us. Because we struggle. We struggle with that. We're a little bit like, you know, I mean, the weather's just been awful, hasn't it? And driving around at the moment, sort of within the car, it just all mists up all the time when it rains outside. And what do we need? We need to put on the fan to clear the mist so we can see clearly. And in so many ways, we so often struggle through the fog of life to grasp God's love for us. And we need the power of his Spirit to help us do that. And perhaps that's something we've never experienced in our life. We wouldn't actually say we're a Christian. We're just looking in on Christian things. We don't know anything of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what he's done for us. Well, this prayer is also an invitation to you to pray that God might show you who the Lord Jesus Christ is, why he came. He came to die for your sins so that you might know forgiveness. You might know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself in your life. And the more we grasp God's love, we're told here, the more we'll be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you see that at the end there of verse 19? To be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In other words, to be all that God wants us to be spiritually mature. As we said, there's really nothing better than to know that you're loved. To really know you're loved. It has a massive impact upon your life. It's what we all long for. And it transforms us. It changes us. It gives us security. It gives us a sense of worth. It gives us strength for each day. It gives us joy. It actually matures us. And therefore, is there anything more important that we can be praying for, that we might grasp God's love for us, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, that we might become the people God wants us to be? So Paul's prayer here is really a call for us to pray. We need to pray. We need God's help with this. We need to pray for power, for Christ's renovation. We need to pray for power, for love's appreciation. But we might be thinking, look, is this all a little bit too much? Are we asking for too much? And for this, we need to see the basis for this prayer. And it's either end. It sort of bookends this passage. I wonder if you noticed that. The basis for this prayer. And it starts that we pray to our Father. So have a look at verse 14 at the beginning. We read here, for this reason, Paul's been speaking about, it actually refers back to
chapter 3, verse 1, he also says, for this reason, then he went on a digression that we saw last week. And that all flows out of chapters 1 and 2. For all that we've been reading about, what God's done for us in Christ in chapters 1 and 2, for this reason, Paul comes before God to pray. And what does he say? He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And it's nice, isn't it, on Father's Day to have this passage here, speaking of the Father. The Father, the ultimate Father. This speaks of the Father of all. He's the originator of all life. I think that's what it's meaning there when he says, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. God is the ultimate Father. He's the Father who loves to give us good gifts, who's always present, always wise, always loving. And crucially, he's a Father who's all-powerful. All-powerful. That takes us on to verse 20. And this wonderful prayer, this is a prayer that we pray for the last 10 years. At every prayer meeting we've had, pretty much, we finish with this prayer. And it is a wonderful place to finish. And it describes God's power. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So when we're praying for these massive things, for the renovation of our hearts from the inside out, to grasp God's love for us, and we think, I just can't do that, I can't grasp that. Well, we're praying to a God who has power to enable us to do those things. I just see the strength of the words there. He's able to do immeasurably more. Can't even measure it. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I mean, between us, we've probably got a pretty big imagination. He can do even more than that. Absolutely. It's wonderful, isn't it? And we need to pray. We need to pray that God would be doing that in our lives, that his power would be at work within us. And he can do it. He will do it. It is available for us. If you're in despair, thinking, I can't change, we can pray to a God who can change us, renovating us from the inside out, helping us to grasp his love for us. And as we close, one crucial last line is verse 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Recognize it's for his glory. It's for his glory. And it's quite a crucial reminder, this. We can get everything right up to this point and then fall at this last hurdle. It's possible to pray the right things for the wrong reason. Simply to pray all this for our own glory. But that would be a big mistake. Ultimately, we need to be concerned for God's glory. He's the one who deserves all the glory. I was reading about recently an art gallery in Munich, filled with all sorts of famous artists, Rembrandt, Picasso, all sorts of different things. And an employee there decided to hang up their own picture in the art gallery. They just sort of, one morning, you've got to admire the chutzpah in that, and just sort of hung up their own picture. Apparently they got sacked. Rightly so, in that it's not about them. That art gallery was showcasing other people's work. Yet so easily we do that with God. He's the one who deserves all the glory. We can so easily try and steal it for ourselves. But this is, we want to change from the inside out. We want to grasp his love for us so that he can get all the glory, because he is worthy of it. And that is for our good and for our joy. So this is a wonderful prayer, a wonderful encouragement to us to pray. Yes, pray for everything. We can bring all our anxieties before the Lord. There is nothing too small to pray for. But don't limit our prayers. Let's pray with real depth
Let's dive in. Let's pray for a renovation of our hearts so there may be a fit dwelling for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray that we might grasp how wide and high and deep and long is the love of God for us. We're going to invite the band up. We're going to turn to sing and praise God and to give him the glory in a few moments. But let's just take a moment just to pray this prayer in our hearts. I'll just lead us. I'll just give us a little bit of space as we do so. Let's pray this straight away now. So let's come before our Father. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the light of all that you have done for us, of all that we are in Jesus Christ. We come before you now and we pray for power so that our lives might be a fitting home for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please would you change us, renovate us. Help us to turn away from those things of this world that capture us, those things that we idolize, how easily we are turned in on ourselves, Lord. Help us to turn away from that and to turn to you, to live a life that honors you, that is worthy of you. Lord, we need your help, we need your power. Please might you give that to us. And Lord, above all, we pray to you for power to grasp your love for us. Just how wide it is. Lord, perhaps if there's some particularly here who are struggling to accept that you love them, Lord, please, might you open our eyes to that now. Lord, to know that this is a love that is long, everlasting. It'll never end. A love that is high, that takes us from the gutter and lifts us up to the palace. A love that is deep, that you sent your Son to die for us. Help us to grasp that. And as we do so, would you transform us? May we know what is unknowable. And Lord, we pray this for your glory, knowing that is for our good, but all praise to you, knowing that you are the all-powerful God. We pray this to you, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations ever.